in our troubled world, and that is reflected in the prayer this morning. Let us pray together. God of the new heaven and new earth, you speak renewal that stretches our imagination and restores our courage. You promise a world where mourning turns to gladness, where weeping is no more, and where all may live in safety and enjoy the fruit of their labor. Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, through your cross you give us peace with God. Through your Spirit, peace within. Through your call, peace with one another, in our families, our land, and among nations in conflict. In a world bruised by war and displacement, let your vision of peace take root. Strengthen those seeking ceasefire, opening humanitarian corridors and working for reconciliation. Guard the vulnerable in Gaza and Israel, Ukraine, Sudan, and all places known only to you. God of compassion, hold close the communities struck by disaster and violence, those grieving the deadly landslide in Kenya, victims of bombing in New Delhi, the 42 migrants drowned off Libya, and the people of Iran enduring severe drought. Give comfort to the bereaved, safety to the displaced, and strength to all who bring relief and care. O God, hasten the day when wolf and lamb feed together, and harm and destruction are no more. Until then, anchor us in Christ and the hope he brings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah 65, 17 to 25, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. See, I will create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be an infant who dies but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as in the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord. When I was a young boy, at age 5 or so. There was an older man, whenever he saw me at church, he would play this trick on me. He would grab my nose, like this, and then he'd pull his finger and put his thumb in between his like this. And he'd say, "Hey, look, I got your nose. I got your nose." I mean, I'm 5 years old, but come on. I mean, maybe for a second, but I thought, like, whoa, no, I got my nose. It's right there. You can't trick me. Still, for some reason, he kept playing this trick on me many times after that. Maybe he thought it would work. I don't know. Around that age, there was something else that somebody told me that did trick me. Somebody told me that brown cows made the chocolate milk. And honestly, that one did get me fooled. And I don't blame my 5-year-old self for thinking that. I'm not mad at me for mistaking this idea. Obviously, this was before I knew to check the ingredients on the carton. I was just going by what I saw, you know, brown chocolate milk, brown cow. Makes sense, right? And if this is new information for you this morning, you're like, your mind is being blown, don't worry. Apparently, 7% of all Americans think that the brown cow makes the chocolate milk. So it's understandable for your confusion. If we go by what we just see and our limited understanding, we can get it wrong. We can get it wrong. And for me, I was 5 years old. I got this wrong. But sometimes a 5-year-old can see and understand what we completely miss. One day, a National Geographic photographer, his name is DeWitt Jones, he met a 5-year-old boy. And this boy asked him a question that changed how he saw the world. DeWitt was struck with this problem. He was trying to shoot an incredible photo on a very gloomy day on Vancouver Island. And he wasn't excited about it. And then this 5-year-old boy interrupted him with this big smile and his question was this. The boy said, "Do you have a camera?" Well, DeWitt's like, "I have lots of cameras." The boy said, "I have a magic camera. My camera has juice in it." This made DeWitt laugh. The boy and his magic camera taught him that a person's outlook is the highest importance, especially when taking pictures. What had been an ordinary day had suddenly become extraordinary, to the point where DeWitt is actually still talking about this boy and what he taught him. The vision of a National Geographic photographer is simple. Each photographer is tasked to go out and find and celebrate what is right with the world. What is right with the world? Isn't that amazing? But this can be a difficult task. You need to see the world differently. And it's valuable. I think I'm not alone to say that there are stacks of National Geographics with their yellow borders in my mother's basement, and those will never go away. Maybe you have some in your basement as well, too. Our passage from Isaiah 65 today is valuable in a similar way. It celebrates what will be right in the world. And I believe that when we read this incredible passage from Isaiah of a renewed heaven and a renewed earth, of lions eating grass like ox, of wars and suffering ending, we have been invited for our perception to change in a profound way. We are invited to see with new eyes God's vision for a renewed world. Now, God's vision for a renewed world couldn't have been more different than what the people of Judah were currently experiencing at the time of Isaiah. Imagine being a Jewish person at the time of Isaiah. The 8th and 7th century BCE was a terrible one for the whole region. There was a rising world empires and they were fighting each other. In 735 BCE, Judah was attacked mercilessly by their enemies all at once. We had Egypt, Philistines, Aram, Damascus, and the 10 tribes of Israel. They all piled on. And according to 2 Chronicles, Judah's army was annihilated in this war. 2 Chronicles records that 120,000 men died in a single day. That is an incredible amount. It's a number that signifies the catastrophic loss that occurred for the nation of Judah. And Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, was besieged many times during the 8th and 7th century. Ancient sieges were terrible things. They're terrible things to endure for any person. There was very little water and very little food. And it was a waiting game. All the people of Judah were in the capital of Jerusalem, waiting desperately for help from their allies as the enemy surrounded them. But here's what made this worse. Worse than the physical devastation, than the starvation for the loss of life. The people of Judah faced a theological crisis. They had believed that God had promised to protect them. They had believed that Jerusalem, the holy city, was indestructible. They believed that their identity as God's chosen people meant something. And now, burying their fathers and their brothers who had died in battle, watching their children go hungry during a terrible siege, they had to ask, where is God? Has God abandoned us? Were the words of the prophets a mistake? Everything that they believed about God was being reconsidered. And maybe you feel like that this morning. You're wondering, what's God's plan now that I'm sick? What's God's plan now that I'm dealing with this pain every day? What's God's plan now that I'm struggling to pay for rent and food? And what's God's plan for me now that this close relationship that I had is ended? If you're wondering what God's plan, I believe that God has an especially powerful message for you this morning. The prophetic vision in Isaiah is a light of hope. It starkly contrasts that dark period in Israel's history, in Judah's history. It declares, "I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people," says God. "And the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no longer. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life." Can you hear the inverse of what we just discussed? Giving birth during a war or a siege was a terrible time to bring a baby into the world. But in God's vision of peace, newborn babies survive and thrive and live well into their hundreds. People live long lives as they should. "My people will live as long as trees." Every time I think about the age of trees, I'm struck with awe. It It's just incredible to think 3 hours north of us in Lion's Head Provincial Park, there is a white cedar. Get this. It started growing in 688 CE. That is 1,337 years. How did it do it? It grows on a cliff face, which is allowed to stay protected from deer, and has been able to live for that long. Here's the most incredible thing, though. This trees, if it didn't get your attention, listen to what's next. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. In God's peaceful kingdom, wild animals and domestic livestock will lay down together. And this is significant because throughout history, war has been always justified as a part of just the regular order of things. And it was an argument of evolutionary biology that actually said that nature was red in tooth and claw, which means to say the red was the blood, as the stronger animals hunt and kill the other animals. It was kill or be killed, according to so many people throughout history. It was just a fact of life. Isaiah's vision of God's new reality upends this belief. Let's think more about what God is saying here, because there's something really deep here. There's something really significant. This isn't just about animals. Throughout Scripture, lambs represent the vulnerable, the weak, the defenseless. And wolves, they represent the predators. They represent the aggressors, the powerful, those that devour others. And God is saying, in my kingdom, predator and prey will lie down together. They'll eat without conflict. The powerful will not devour the weak. The vulnerable will not live in fear. And notice, God doesn't just make the lamb stronger. There's no special battle armor for the lambs to wear. Instead, he changes the predator. He transforms the predator to be peaceful. And this is how God brings peace. Just like a house cat, the lion lays down. And there's more. When Jesus died on the cross, he was called the Lamb of God, a substitute sacrifice for our wrongdoing. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus is also called the Lion. So in God's kingdom, the lion and the lamb are the same. They are same represented as Jesus. And that's God's vision of peace. That's consistently shown throughout the Bible. In Isaiah's time, Judah does not need to become more strong to defend itself. Instead, God has established a new order and a new reality. It is a kingdom of supernatural peace that extends over all creation. So let's return now to that first verse of chapter 65. It says, look, I'm creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will ever think about the old ones again. Isaiah is saying that the new creation will be so good that no one will ever think about the old one again. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wake up and think, wow, I really miss those days of child labor? Or, I really wish we had a dictator right now. Do you lie in bed thinking, wouldn't it be better if we all just had to pay for health care? Wouldn't that be better? Of course not. Nobody thinks that way. Those things are obviously wrong. And that's what God's new creation is going to be like. The pain that you're experiencing right now, the anxiety that you feel, the broken relationships, the sense that something is deeply wrong with this world, one day you won't even remember it. Not because you forget, but because God's goodness will be so overwhelming that the old pain simply just won't have power over you anymore. But here's the thing. That's not just for later. That's happening now. God isn't waiting for the end of time to start this renewal process. He's doing it today. And the question for all of us is, will we let God renew us? I'm going to tell you a story. I mean, it's a very personal story. It's been simmering in the background for a while, and I'm going to be honest today, so you can hopefully be honest with yourself. So when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a songwriter. Not just for fun. I believe this was part of my calling. So I wrote music, I recorded albums, and I told myself this is all about faith and social justice. I wasn't doing it for money or fame. I was going to change the world for better through music. But here's the truth that I didn't want to admit. I was doing it for something. I needed validation. I needed to feel like I mattered. I needed to prove that what I was doing had value. And so when I released these songs into the world and just didn't have the impact that I thought, I struggled with resentment. I was disappointed. I thought I was following God's vision, but I was following my version of God's. And I was asking God just to bless my ideas. I had good ideas, but were they God ideas? Not because songwriting is wrong, but God had to interrupt me. God had to interrupt me because I was trying to create my own significance. And what I believe through this now is that God was giving me something better than what I dreamed of. But I had to let go of my version first. I had to give up that version of the vision. Do you see this word create used in Isaiah 65? If you can switch back the slide, I'm just going to go back one more. It says, create. I'm creating a new heaven. That actually is a word called bara. Now, bara is not starting from scratch. We talk about creating something like creating Lego, working on a project, but we're actually using blocks, right? And Psalm 51:10 says, bara in me, a clean heart. And this is significant for another reason. When Jesus rose from the dead, his body wasn't completely replaced. It was transformed. It was renewed. And in the same way, God takes what we have, our dreams, our plans, our brokenness, and it transforms them into something that we could have never imagined. We could have never imagined. I could never imagine the life that I have now today that God has given to me. Now is the time to start thinking about revisioning. Now, I think most people think, well, you know, I'm going to revision, you know, for January 1st. I'll just roll out of bed and maybe I'll be inspired. But instead of doing that, why don't we think about today? What does renewed vision look like for me, for you, for us? We need a renewed vision. We need a renewed vision to see what is possible. There's a pastor that I like named Mark Todd, and he said this, sight is seeing. Vision is seeing with your eyes closed. In a moment, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to pray. And I'm going to ask that God give each one of you an image of what life could look like for you. Now, if you receive an image, I want you to be very careful to write that down. You could write it on your phone. You could write it on a piece of paper that you have, maybe. The most important thing is writing it down, keeping track of it, because this is going to be a receipt. This is going to be a receipt for when the change happens, for the renewal. You're going to look back and say, God did it. God did it. God did it through me. Not just because of my own power. I've seen God's incredible transformation throughout my life. And you, I think, have been renewed in many of the same ways. But I believe there's much more to come. Let's pray. God, this morning, we seek after a renewed vision for ourselves. Just like this passage that we read from Isaiah 65, we want to see an image of a completely different future in which some of the things that we felt that we could not change in our lives are changed. For the broken relationships that we have to be healed, for the ways that we've struggled with something just to be completely ended. We just pray that we can just see within our mind's eye that different outlook for the future. That we can see a world in which we matter, God, in which our anxiety doesn't just tear us up and leave us on the side of the road, that we have a future. God, we have big dreams, and sometimes we just dare to speak them out loud. And I just pray that this moment, that you give us the courage to write down those dreams, that vision that you have. I just pray that we can keep that and treasure that and know that you do come true, that you will honor those visions. And I just pray this in all of your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.